here, so. Here we go. Now we are.
Now, is that on you?
Well, I want it on here more than me, but I'm going to stand right here. That's what I was trying to see. So, Bob's helping Joe upstairs. Brother Anderson is running a little bit late. So, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? Abraham didn't have to hope for the baby because the baby was here at the time when they were turned back. But they had to be turned back to young men and women to have the baby. But when they got turned back to young men and women, man and woman, they had the baby. Well, he didn't have to hope for the baby anymore. There it was. There was Isaac. There was the product of what had been prophesied. That's why Brother Branham tells us that we have to meet Melchizedek just like Abraham did. Every son of the faith will meet and take that journey that Abraham took, because Abraham's journey was by faith, but he met God in human flesh, called Melchizedek. And then after that, 28 days later, he said, according to the time of life, which is the 28-day cycle, according to the time of life, you'll have a, in other words, you'll have a baby. Well, now, here's the mystery that we may talk about upstairs. Here's the mystery. He never told Abraham and Sarah how. He never told them how. He said, 28 days, you're going to have a baby. And Abraham's like, well, okay. That's why Sarah laughed in her heart. She said, me have pleasure with my Lord again. She knew what it was going to take to have the baby.
Right.
And she didn't have it anymore. And he didn't either. So supernaturally, what I'm trying to say is, we're going through the seals. We have the seal book. Brother Brown spent one night on the fourth seal. Well, we've been now 10 services on the fourth seal to try to get an understanding. We'll see what happened was, he gave Brother Branham something to give to us, but you and I are going to have to figure out the in-between. You and I are going to have to figure out the details, because he never told Abraham and Sarah, now I'm going to come and one morning you're going to wake up. You see what I'm saying? He didn't go through and say, he just said, you're going to have a baby. Right? The part in between was Abraham's faith and Sarah's faith to believe what God had already said, and it wasn't a prophecy anymore. It was a reality when it came to pass. So what we've been talking about upstairs is those who prophesy must die. So everybody that prophesies died. Why? Because you're prophesying to somebody else. Brother Branham prophesied of you and I sitting here. That's why he had to pass on. Jesus had to die because he prophesied of a bride. And now here we come. Here we're coming. So, you see what I'm saying? So anybody that prophesies, oh, it's good, you know, we're going to go in a rapture. No, you got to bring it to where, Brother Brown said, Abraham as good as had the child the day God told him that. Now, he had to wait 25 years to get it. We've had to wait 50-something years for the prophet being off the scene. But you and I are going to have to get, you understand what I'm saying? The seal book's about that thick, and there's, well, you got the breach, and then you got God in simplicity. You got 7, 8, 9, 10 sermons when you go to questions and answers in that one book. Well, in that one book, the revelation that comes out of that book is going to change our body. And it's going to, it has sustained us for 50-something years. But it hadn't took, nobody's took a body change yet. It's in that book.
Right.
Rapture and faith lies in the books and the tapes. Right? So it's our responsibility. It was Abraham's responsibility, in other words, to carry out what God had told him. I've always told you before, why didn't God, when he first met Abraham, why didn't he change him right then? You ever thought about that? Because God can do it. Why didn't he just change Abraham, change Sarah, and actually didn't have to change Abraham? Hello? He didn't have to change Abraham. Abraham could have a child because he had Ishmael.
That's right.
So he could produce. She's the one that couldn't produce. So he had to change the bride. He had to change the bride. He don't need a change. We're talking about our Heavenly Father. You know,
that was fresh, wasn't it?
God doesn't need it. Yeah, I was fresh. That come fresh. He didn't need a change at that time. But on as we go on, the natural story is he had to have a change because his what? His body was going. Now, his faith didn't. His faith didn't waver, but his body was going just like ours. Or
yeah. Do you think he didn't change, Sarah?
Do what now?
You think he didn't change Sarah? Because when she went down to the king, he wanted.
He did change Sarah, but he didn't change her at the moment when he told Abraham at the beginning of the journey. Yeah. He didn't even tell Abraham he was going to have the baby by Sarah. If he had told him the whole story, there would not have been an Ishmael, and there would not have been a Hagar. Because Abraham would have kept himself and waited for Sarah. Right? What am I saying is, God lets us go out through this journey as a free moral agent. And we've tried to figure it out for years. Well, Abraham tried to figure it out and got in trouble. He finally said one day, Abraham said, "Can't have this baby no more. I can't produce it anymore. I can't even with a young Hagar. You understand what I'm saying?" So he got to one day where when he met Melchizedek, I believe Abraham in his heart said, "God, if you don't do something, I'm going to die because I'm 99 years old." And then God comes on the scene, just like the children of Israel. I was reading it a couple of days ago. The children of Israel were okay in Egypt until Pharaoh started pulling things out of there. "You can't use this and you can't use that, and you got to double your production and all that stuff." Well, then they started crying for a deliverer. That's our problem. That's why Brother Brown said the bride does better under persecution. Why are we persecuted? Why, heavenly days? No, we got money in our pocket. We go home and we eat. We go out and eat. There's enough cars sitting out here. There's $1 million worth of cars almost sitting out here in the parking lot, in our parking lot. So, there's got to come a time where something's got to come to put our focus back on depending on God. I mean, really, how many times do we depend on God? Yeah, we depend on God for a lot of things, but we don't depend on God for our food. We go to Walmart.
Oh, we get in trouble.
Right.
I go to trouble.
Same demon.
Okay.
Same devil, different name. No, I mean, we do. And I was thinking the other day, our sustainability of life, God allows that because that's what he knew this was going to be this way. I mean, this is not a surprise to him, so he knew that. Same way with Abraham and Sarah. He knew how long it was going to take them to have that baby. Don't you think Melchizedek didn't walk up there and say, "Abraham, I talked to you 25 years ago." No, there was a position. That's what we're going to talk about this afternoon in second service. There's a position that everybody has to come to that God, and it goes along with this, that God comes to you in that position. Right? Because the Son of God was down through the seven church ages. But why does the Son of Man have to appear back in the end time? It's promised the Son of Man had to appear in the end time. Why? For you and I.
That's right.
Because the Son of Man is the only one that knows how to take a body change. The only one that knows how to take a body change is the Son of Man, because he's the one that went through it. So, yeah.
Is that this whole time God is exercising our faith?
That's correct.
We should.
Sure.
That's what changes us.
And he actually has to let things happen because, you know, what? Here you got Lot. You got to bring Lot in. Lot had to develop to a place to where God finally said, "Abraham, you go that way." Well, Lot chose. Remember Lot? Abraham comes down and says, "Hey, I got this whole plain, all these cattle and everything." He said, "Do you want to split it down the middle? I'll take this side and you take that side." And Lot said, "Well, I'll take that side," which included Sodom and Gomorrah. So he made the wrong choice. Abraham made the right choice, Jim.
I heard a preacher say one time, "Let Lot go his way," because he's fulfilling Scripture too.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Lot was fulfilling what he said.
Hear about Lot.
Right.
Lot's fulfilling.
Sure.
Scripture.
And Brother Brown, many times, I was reading it last night, Brother Brown many times tells us that Lot was a righteous man. The Bible says that the sins of Sodom vexed his righteous soul. So he wasn't a sinner, but he wasn't the chosen of the bunch. Abraham was the chosen of the bunch to take a body change and produce the child. Lot was not included in that. But now Lot was included in Abraham's journey. Okay? So same way with the denominations and the foolish virgin. He's the type of the foolish virgin. All right? Then you had Billy Graham and Oral Roberts identified in the Word, going down to Sodom and blinding their eyes, doing their job, preaching what? A salvation gospel to them. But that was what they were. That was their box. But Brother Branham had to come and preach what we've been talking about upstairs, the coming of the Son of Man. Because the Son of Man is, to you and I, listen, to you and I, the Son of Man revelation is the most important revelation you'll ever get. Ever get. Son of God's fine. You say, what's the same? It's the same, but it's a different dispensation. I've been reading that quote three Sundays in a row. It's different. Right. Brother Branham said, Son of God through the church ages, Son of Man in the end time. It's a different way. What is it? A different way for God to produce Himself in His people. Right? So the Son of Man revelation to me is the most... Well, that's what Brother Brown's last 3.5 year ministry was the revelation of the Son of Man. Right. That God in human flesh, not in just Him, but God in human flesh in the people.
Right.
And He said it'd be the ministry of the Son of Man.
Right.
Not the man.
Right.
There was only one Son of Man. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. But collectively, we make up the body of Christ. Right. And the body of Jesus Christ was flesh. And it was the Son of Man. So we will be the Son of Man. Because, you know, Brother Brown said Jesus had three pulls in his ministry. First pull, second pull, third pull. He explained that. And so did Brother Brown. Well, it wasn't different than Jesus' ministry. It was the same three pulls. It was the same three phases of the message that he had, right? Healing, right? Then bigger fish. And then the last one was Jesus was preaching to the totally lost, the church, which was the people that let's say the lost, and let's say the Gamalias and the, what was the other one?
Nicodemus.
Gamalia and Nicodemus that didn't deny Jesus but didn't walk with Him. And then you had His elect, which was only 12. One of them was the devil. So that's what he had in his message. Same way with Brother Branham. He come and started with a healing campaign. Millions of people followed him. Then he started preaching to the Pentecostals, the denominational world, trying to get them to move over. Well, the ones that did move over, he was preaching to the bride, to the church, and the totally lost. So that's the same. And that's what's happening now. Right. That's why Brother Branham preached three kinds of believers. Unbelievers, made believers, and true believers. That's the same three pulls. Unbeliever, made believer, true believer. Right? So let's finish here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, we talked about this last Sunday. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for. You've never been that way. I have been that way many times. You don't know what to pray for. And you pray for thy will be done. But you have to be careful there. You can't just, I've always said it for those of you, and there's nobody in here, but people have come to me and says, pray that God will give me a job. And then you go home and sit on the couch. God's not going to come knocking on the door and say, hey, I got you a job. He wants a little effort. Abraham gave a little effort. At least Abraham tried to figure out what God was doing. He was in the motion. He was moving all the time. Same way with God. He's not going to just dump a job in front of you. You got to go. Because that's your free will agency. What more would it be that God would give you a job right in the middle of a turmoil that you weren't looking for something, and then all of a sudden, there it is. You may be looking over here. I mean, you're looking, but then all of a sudden something comes this way. Well, you know, that's God. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I was reading scripture yesterday morning where Jesus is telling them, I'm going back through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The scripture, he tells the people that when you come up before judges and kings to not think about what you're saying. Well, that's what this is. He said, let the Holy Spirit talk. So that's the same way with you and I. Let the Holy Spirit talk. A lot of times when we talk, we get in trouble. But if you let the Spirit talk, we won't be in trouble. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things, this is when we was at last Sunday, all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, you have to separate this. All things work together for good Well, that could happen to anybody. A non-Christian. But now watch, God put this in here. To them that love God. And you can only love God. That love is not filial love. That's agape love. You cannot love God with filial love.
That's right.
You get in trouble if you do. That's agape love from the inside. That's why this thing right here, it actually starts down here, but see, it comes to a head. It comes to a culmination. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, to them that are called, you go back to the scripture, many are called, few are chosen. But if you're called according to His purpose, you're right, it lines, that whole scripture lines it right back up where you're in the will of God. For whom He did foreknow, and that's what we were talking about last Sunday. That's why we had to draw on here. That's what we were talking about. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. So predestination is not just, like we were saying, predestination is not just, that's not predestination according to God. Now that's predestination according to God's foreknowledge. He saw your path. By foreknowledge. He knew exactly the route you was going to take. But He didn't pull you through that tube. No. And I'm going to make a real bad example, but here's the mind of God. Alright? The mind of God. This is foreknowledge. Because He foreknew those who He did foreknow. All-knowing God knew before the foundation of the world what was going to happen. But you know what He did? He did not make you do this. He saw you do this. Because you're a free moral agent. Even Brother Brown says you're a free moral agent. After you're born again, you're a free moral agent.
Yes, you
are. To me, let me put it this way. To me, your free moral agency counts more when you're born again than it is when you're not. Because if you're not born again, you're not in the will of God anyway. You're just brute beasts made for destruction. You're just people walking down the street, filling up space. I'm sorry. Walking Dead. You know, they have the movie The Walking Dead. Well, guess what? You've got plenty of them. Brother Brown called them cannon fodder. Now, that's pretty rough. That's what he said. But He also foreknew them.
Yes.
He didn't pull them through their tube either. The sinner. He didn't pull them through that tube. He saw what they would do. And it really helps me because you say, well, why do these people like Adolf Hitler and all the bad, just real bad people, why do the bad people, and sometimes you even read in the Bible where it says, Lord, why? In other words, why are these people prospering? David says that many times. Why are my enemies prospering? Well, God's like, David, don't worry about them. Leave them. They're over here. But if you're in the mind of God, eternal section of the mind of God, because there is two sections in the mind of God. Because Judas, you say, all God's thoughts are eternal. His thoughts of Judas can't be eternal. His thoughts of your sins before you put them under the blood can't be eternal. So you got a problem here when you think that, well, God knows everything, and God knows everything, but one thing He does not know, praise God, He doesn't know my past sins, because they're not in His mind anymore. They actually never were in the mind of God. Hello? They weren't. Now, He saw what you did.
Yes.
Okay? But that part right here in the eternal section, because really this is the book we've been looking at. This is the book of life. And then there's the eternal section. Because the book of life, everybody's in it. It's a book of life. Because when you go to Revelations, Revelation says the book was open. We're not in that book. Hello? We're not in that book. We are the book.
That's right.
Now see, I'll go with eternal security with the Baptists if they'll believe it like that. By foreknowledge. we always was eternal. I'll go with the people in the message by foreknowledge, we always was eternal. But not that we started with eternal life.
Right.
No. We were here in eternal life. For though he for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Predestined. Predetermined destiny. Now if you take that, then this is predetermined destiny. Without foreknowledge, you can't have that. There's no free will in there. There's no free moral agency. That's why Brother Brown said God didn't pull you. That's why I made a tube. God didn't pull you through a tube. But he saw the tube you'd go through. By your choice. You have plenty of choices. Plenty of choices.
My tube is curvy. It's not
straight. Sorry? The what?
My tube is curvy and
crooked.
It's not straight.
Well, you know, Freddie, he knew that. He knew that. So. But if we don't see this, we're never going to take a body change. Because you know what? That's what you're seeing. That's what you're seeing. Now let's go back to foreknowledge, eternal section. Foreknowledge, eternal section. You come from the mind of God. God met you in a new birth. You walked your path, and then you're going to take a body change or die and go by the grave, and you're still going to take a body change.
Right.
But this is our problem. Now that may be our earthly journey to get to God.
Right.
But this is all he sees.
Mm-hmm. What about that?
Listen, even the prophet of God told us, he said, God don't even see a Christian sins because he only hears your voice. This whole world's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. He hears our voice. But now, that eternal section, that's that Genesis 1:26 man. That's that man that never sinned. If you're born again today, you never sinned a day in your life. That person did. Amen? That's what we're, you're sitting there going, well, I did it. You're making a laundry list.
That's right.
God didn't see that.
Amen.
And if you put it under the blood, it can never be remembered again. That's according to the Bible. So those he foreknew, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Paul's not finished with his thought. Moreover, whom he did predestinate by foreknowledge, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. There's only one way God could do that, is to know your journey from beginning to the end. Right? What shall we then say to these things? Free to read that.
If God be for us, then we'll be against us.
That takes all the curves out.
Amen.
That takes all the curves out. Because if he predestinated you by foreknowledge, knew you would accept the Word, knew you would become the Word made flesh, then those he's justified, he's already glorified. In God's eyes, we're already glorified. We're already sitting in heavenly places. The Bible's already told us that. That's our biggest problem. Then we go, well, I do this. That's what's keeping us here. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. This is how we got it. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything? Now that don't say anything. You notice that's two words? Anything. So you can make that thing sin.
Right.
Who shall lay any sin to the charge of God's elect? You can't. It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? He's asking the question. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Frida, that's your curve. When you get outside of that tube, he makes intercession. Well, if you're a child of God, guess what? You'll come right back. If you're not, you just keep going off. Right? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine? Paul ought to know about this. He's been through every bit of it. Famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Let's read and see what that word means. With my nifty little concordance here. Oh, look at that. Convinced. By analogy. There was one down here, let's see. To rely by inward certainty. Mm-hmm. Outside man's not going to do it, but the inside man can. To persuade, to induce one by words to believe. Paul said, for I'm persuaded. In other words, all this that God has given me that I'm writing to you, I am so persuaded. I am convinced. I am convinced. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, he's about covered it all, mm-hmm. nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
That's our lover right there, Christ Jesus right. our Lord. Amen. No one can separate us. I love what Paul is really, verse 1 through 37, he's give us the journey. But in verse 38 and 39, he's just summing it all up. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. So therefore, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's what we... All right, let's read this just for a minute, and then we'll... To me, Romans 8 is just a chapter that covers all of your Christian walk. Brings in your adoption, brings in... the placing and adoption, it brings in your Christianity, it brings in your walk. It even tells you what God thought about you and thinks about you, right? And we got to believe that. And we got to believe in the time that we're living in. That's why Brother Brown said, we'll know who we are and what we're doing here. We'll know our position. Our position is not to throw this to somebody else. Our position is to take this, make it manifest, and take a body change. And you're not just going to automatically take a body change. Like I said before, why didn't God just come to Abraham there in the Ur of Chaldees right when he said, Abraham, get up and walk and take a journey. Why didn't he just change him then? Well, he didn't need to. He didn't need to change at that time. I've done been through that. The bride was one that needed to change,
right.
not him.
That's right.
I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption. Now, Brother Dale's been commenting on this. Well, this is your scripture. Romans 9:4. Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. It went to them first. Jesus even, and you say, yeah, I have a problem with this scripture. The Bible says he came to his own, and his own received him not. They were never his own. Now, because we were his own, we were the kingdom of God, the Israelites were never the kingdom of God. He divorced them in the Old Testament. But I'm not saying Scripture's bad. I know what it means. But when you first see that, you go, what do you mean? What do you mean go? And you remember Jesus told him, he said, don't go. He said, only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus was telling them, don't even go to the Gentiles. Why? Because that dispensation had not come yet.
Right.
He knew that Paul and Peter would be taking it to the Gentiles. Because I'm telling you, every time he met a Gentile, they got what they wanted. Think.
Yep.
Syrophoenician woman.
That's right.
The centurion. One or two other instances, I was reading it the other day, where Jesus said, I have found no greater faith in Israel. Well, he wasn't talking to Israel. He was talking to the woman that he called a dog.
Right.
And the centurion that said, I don't want you to come in my house. I'm not worthy.
That's right.
Just say the word.
Right.
And he said, I found no greater faith. Well, what was it? He was a Roman. He was a Gentile. So, and I know what it was. When Jesus came to his people, or was born among those people, he considered them his people, earthly. We're his children. Israel's not his children. We're his children. If Israel's his children, they go to the future home with us. Israel is not his children. You say, what about the 144,000? They get the Holy Ghost here. They, remember, nobody, no one, from Jesus back, which was the Old Testament, which was the Jews, which was Israel, received the Holy Ghost in their soul until Jesus died, resurrected, came back on the day of Pentecost. Then there was 120, and then remember the 3,000 downstairs was all over the nation. They weren't all Israelites. Because the day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, that wasn't just Israel. If you'll study your history, even now, the day of Pentecost, a lot of the people from many nations gather in Israel for the day of Pentecost. It's like a festival to them now.
Well,
but back then,
on time.
I'm sorry?
When they spoke, it's
that's
they
correct.
Because
they came from different places. They heard them in their own language. Remember they said how these we hear in our own language. So there was a lot of different languages out there, a lot of different nations. But don't get me wrong about what Jesus, but you got to take what Jesus said. He said, don't go to Gentiles. Go to my people. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why? He was trying. You know what he was doing? He was trying his best to get them to see it, even though he knew they weren't. You know why? Got to be a witness. I came to you and you turned me down. Okay? So that's why it's written that way. But Jesus Christ came to earth to get a bride that was inside of him that couldn't get out, that was longing to get out. And we'll talk about that maybe a little bit this afternoon. That's why the Son of Man had to come. Son of Man was flesh God that had us in him. The Son of God, we were in the mind of God. That Genesis 1:26 man. We'll talk about this afternoon. Because everybody runs around the country, and especially in the message saying, Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man. Well, what are they saying? You better know what they're saying. So that Son of Man is what's going to change your body.
That's right.
People have had the Son of God revelation since the day of Pentecost. Because they didn't have Son of Man revelation. He left. Sent back the Holy Ghost. Sent back the Holy Ghost to go in their soul.
Right.
To teach them how to be Christians. But why does Son of Man have to come back in the end time? It's in your Bible. I read it this morning. And when I tell you this afternoon, it'll shock you. It's been there the whole time. Why the Son of Man had to come back. And it's in a scripture that we read all the time. And it pertains to this age. It's in the book of Revelation. And then I found one quote where Brother Brown Tell exactly explains what I thought it was, but he explains it. So I'm going to let the prophet read it to you. That's the last thing we'll read this afternoon. So most of you try to stay awake. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Because listen, folks, God never wanted to live in a tabernacle with badger skin. And he never wanted to sacrifice an animal. None of that he wanted to do. But it was allowed because of the sin that Adam and Eve caused in the garden. So that he could be a savior, he could be Jehovah, he could be the Father, all these different attributes. This is the way it had to go. There's no other way it could have went. This is the only way it could have went. Who are Israelites to whom pertains the adoption, the glory, and the covenant, and the giving of the law, service of God, and the promises. Because remember what Jesus told him. He stood there one day and he said, He said, y'all keep all these days and times, and you keep all these washing of the pots, and you garnish, you go out there and you wipe the tomb of the prophets. In other words, you whitewash it and take a spray washer and wash the, you know. And he said, you put them in there. That's how hypocritical they were. And that's why they hated him, because he said, you put the people that's in that tomb, you the one to put them in there. And what he said? Y'all killed the prophets. Whose are the fathers of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came? So see, look, flesh in the flesh, who is over all and God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Right? Why? Watch. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Abraham had many other children beside one, but he had one chosen son.
Yes.
Ishmael. God told Ishmael, said, you'll be like the sands of the sea, just like your father. You'll be a wild child. Well, that's all them people that's over there now, that's the wild people. Come from Ishmael. And they came right straight from Abraham's natural loins.
Yes.
But not considered in the promise. Isaac. In Isaac. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And that's not natural. That's going to spiritual. Because natural Isaac, hey, he has some problem children down in his lineage. Okay? So, you know, naturally. But remember, what are we going back to? That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God.
Right.
But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Not natural seed. Because remember, it says, not unto Abraham which seeds that are many, but one seed which is Christ. These are all allegories. These are all examples in the Old Testament. Abraham did not birth Christ. But he birthed the promised child in the Old Testament, which was the type of Christ. Is that okay? That is, they which are the children. See, that's what I'm telling you. All these are types. But everything's typing you and me. That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Remember what I said before? When Abraham started his journey, he was married to Sarah, but God said, you're going to have a promised child. He never said by who. But when Melchizedek met him and changed his name, Melchizedek told him, said, by Sarah, you'll have that child. Well, Abraham knew right then. Well, then, we got a problem. A real problem now, because I could be with Hagar and have children. I could be with this other woman and have children. But I've been with her since we was kids, and we ain't had no children. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Even when things were right and going good. Right? I like that too, and I want to bring this in, because what did Sarah say? She said, me, have pleasure with my Lord again. She remembered all the she remembered that in her humanity. She's like, God, you're telling me we're going to, well, he didn't give her the whole, he didn't say, well, I'm going to change you, and you're going, no. And that's the same way I think it will be with the change. I don't think it's going to be, God's going to say, this day is when the change is going to come. You know, an X on the calendar. I think right now it's already happening. It's a gradual change.
Right.
It's a gradual change for us. It was one time for them, but I think it's a gradual change. Now, we're not going to start looking younger. But we got to let this thing come into that outside, or the middle man. Memory, reason, concentration, imagination. The spirit realm is what we need to work on now. And that's what this is working on. Amen? Because if you're born again in your soul, you don't have a temper in your soul.
That's right.
Yeah. But you do have temperance in that spirit realm that you live in, that when your mom and daddy birthed you, you got a nature.
That's right.
And it's all contrary to God. So that temperance is contrary to God until God changes it.
That's right.
Takes that out. And then same thing with each one of these. I hope you see that. That's why the statue of perfect man to me is one of the most important things that we need to understand. Because without it, you can't change your body.
Exactly.
Without it, you die.
That's right.
And I mean just physically die, not spiritually die. Physically die. Let me read this verse 9 and we'll... For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being yet born have done no good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. It is said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Now God didn't choose that. He knew what Esau was going to do before Esau was born. Go back to what he's talking about, the foreknowledge. By foreknowledge, he knew. And it always bothered me about things like that. But you know what? God knows that if he gave Esau 1,000,000 years to live, he'd never repent and come back. All right, so let's go. Same way with Adolf Hitler, same way with everybody in the world. He knew that he'd give them time and they would not repent.